These words from our gospel reading once again. So Jesus came to a town called Sychar of Samaria, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman from Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." As we journey with Jesus through the pages of Scripture, what we see is he meets people right where they are at in life. He doesn't first check their status or their credentials. He doesn't see if they have some sort of rap sheet attached to them, some sort of bad track record. He doesn't find out about their immigration status. He doesn't concern himself with how they identify sexually. Jesus just has this way of meeting people right where they are at in life. And that's what he does with this woman at the well, this Samaritan woman, no less. You see, in Jesus' day, it was inappropriate for a man to address a woman as Jesus did here in this text. It was also not appropriate for a Jew to associate with a Samaritan. And yet, none of that seemed to matter to Jesus. He just met her where she was at, right there by the well. Now, we have a tendency to kind of attach some present-day assumptions to this woman. The text tells us that she had not just had one husband, that she had had five husbands, and that the man she's with now is not her husband. In today's terms, we would think of this woman as being quite promiscuous, just moving on from one man to the next. And now she's just living with the guy, enjoying the so-called benefits of marriage, but she's got no commitment whatsoever. But what if we were to look at this text a different way? What if we were to look at this woman a different way? You see, in biblical times, given the status or the lack thereof when it comes to women, there's likely a different understanding of what was going on. This woman was likely one who had been taken advantage of by men repeatedly. Men would marry her and then they would just give her a certificate of divorce when she no longer met their wants or hurt their needs. Current laws of that day made it far too easy for women to be treated with the utmost disrespect. And so sadly, the man she was with now was likely taking that to an even further extreme. Instead of marrying the woman, he was just simply enjoying the so-called benefits of marriage without committing himself to her. And likely she was going along with it because in that day and age, she was probably seen and even labeled as an adulterer, and therefore couldn't find any way of employment to provide for her needs. And so what was she left to do? She was left to find a man who would take her in any terms possible, just simply so that she could survive. Now, this is all just simply speculation here. But do you see how sometimes we can make assumptions and fail to see how this woman may have been being treated? Instead of thinking her as some sort of frivolous and promiscuous adulterer, perhaps there's more to her story. Just think of it. Has anyone ever made any assumptions about you? And perhaps in those instances, would it have been beneficial if someone just sat down and took a little bit of time to get to know some of your story? Whatever this Samaritan woman story was, Jesus knew all about her. He knew the truth. After all, Jesus is God. But that didn't stop him from pausing and getting to know her and her story a bit more nonetheless. He still saw that it was worthwhile to put his reputation aside and meet her right where she was at there by the well. That's right, as a man in this conversation, Jesus was risking his reputation to even engage in a conversation because this was a woman of ill repute. And then, since he was a Samaritan, he was risking being deemed unclean by Jewish temple standards because, after all, when you remember the whole story, what did he say? Woman, give me a drink. He's receiving a drink from someone who is unclean and then drinking from whatever the cup or the instrument there. And so he's going to be deemed unclean because heaven forbid that he touched something that her filthy hands had touched. But Jesus doesn't concern himself with his own reputation, not concerned with what others think of him. He concerns himself with caring for the woman who's right there before him. It's interesting to pause here and think about the fact that Jesus knows full well that it's not going to be long and he's going to be dying for this woman and her sins. It's not going to be long and he's going to be dying for the remission of the sins that have been committed against her. And isn't it interesting to pause and think about the lens of compassion that he looks through as he sees this woman? He sees this woman as one for whom he will die. Is that how you and I see people? As those for whom Christ has died. Is that how you and I see people? Is that how you and I see the stranger? Is that how you and I see perhaps the person who's begging on one of the intersections here in Springdale? Is that how we see the Democrat? The Republican? Is that how we see the immigrant? Legal or illegal? Is that how we see the person who is heterosexual, homosexual, or transsexual? Is that how we see our coworker? Or our neighbor, or is that how we see our family member? Do we see others, no matter who they may be, as those for whom Christ has died? Gaining such a perspective, to see through such a lens, often means pausing. And perhaps even spending a moment with that person, getting to know them a bit, rubbing shoulders with them, and seeing them beyond the label that we have made in our head for them, seeing them as a person rather than an enemy. And what Jesus shows us is that in his interaction with the woman by the well, that takes time and it takes intentionality. He sat down. He doesn't just pass her by. He sits down and he actually gets to know her for a bit. And he doesn't concern himself with what others may be thinking of his interaction. He's not concerned with what the disciples think. He doesn't care. He simply showed her love and compassion in ways that she may have never thought possible. Just think, what if this woman had been mistreated by men all of her life? What would this mean to finally be treated with love and respect by a man? What would it mean to know that this man before her didn't want to use and abuse her, but instead just wanted to show her compassion? The compassion that she so desperately craved and so desperately needed in this life. Are you here craving love and compassion? Are you looking for someone who will finally not base their interactions with you on the basis of your performance or your skin color or your past or your present sins? Are you looking for someone who will just simply meet you where you're at, no matter how hurt and no matter how broken that you may be or how broken you may feel? Because is that what you crave? Is that what you thirst for? Because if it is, you've come to the right place. You've likely heard the line, the church is not a museum for saints, the church is a hospital for sinners. And that's what this woman found out when she met Jesus by the well. She found out that even though she was a sinner, even though she'd been sinned against and she was bearing all of this burden upon her, that the place for her to be in that moment was right there with Jesus. There was a place for her. And that person was now offering her the gift of living water. That's the way it is with you and with me. We are sinners. And we have been sinned against. We come here hurting and we come here broken by the sins of this world. This is a place where forgiveness and this is a place where healing that we thirst for is met by the living waters of Christ Jesus Himself. And He gives and He gives and He gives. And where He gives those waters is the font of your baptism. This is where the old self is drowned and done away with. You are not defined by what you have done and by what you have failed to do. You do not bear the shame because of what has been done to you. All of that has been washed away by the living water who is Jesus Christ, the one who has met you right where you're at. Sinners though we may be, we are cleansed, we are forgiven, we are made children of God, dead in your trespasses and sins. You have been raised to a new life, a beautiful life, an abundant life. This woman, she went into town and she told everybody. She told everybody about how her life had changed. She was so excited. Let me tell you about a man who knows everything about my life and how it is now changed. Changed forever. That's the life we're called into as well. Our lives have been changed forever. Sins forgiven, salvation secured, condemnation no more. Salvation is all there for us forever. It is a done deal. That's the life we're called into. And so no matter who that person may be in our lives, we see others as those for whom Christ died and rose, and we tell them about the very one who has changed our lives. So who's that person? Who's that person in your life? Who will you make an intentional effort to sit down with this week and get to know them, get to know their story? Who is God calling you into a relationship with so you can meet them right where they're at? Walk alongside of them, listen to them, learn from them, love them, show them Christ. And all the while, live out the mission we've been given as a church, sharing Christ and His love. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.